It has always amazed me when friends get together, at least when we were allowed to get together, when they gather together, and oftentimes, maybe after dinner or snack, we'll send the children downstairs, and inevitably, something happens downstairs, and you hear one of the children crying, and you'll find that there may be seven mothers there in the room that will all stop and listen for a split second, and one will say, "That one's mine," and how in tune they are to their child's cry. And I believe that has to do with, again, being in tune with their children. And again, sometimes husbands aren't able, fathers aren't able to do that. Sometimes they are, but a lot of times it's mom who knows immediately that that's one of theirs. I ask that you stay with me for just a few moments tonight as we discuss the topic of what are you listening for? Good evening. It is again Sunday evening, and about the time that we would be gathering together to worship God. And each and every time that a week passes and we're not together, just more and more awed, and more that I want to be together with you all and worshiping with you all. And hopefully that will happen soon. We kind of presented a scenario in the beginning, in the introduction, about a mother who can hear their child's cry and know that it is their child, even if there are multiple children there and multiple children crying. And one of the reasons that I believe that happens at times is because mothers, when they gather together, understand that something is probably going to happen, and they're listening for it. They're listening for that cry. When is this going to happen? And fathers, I think, sometimes send the kids downstairs, assuming that everything's going to be fine, and maybe aren't quite as in tune or listening for what is going on in a different room or downstairs or whatever the case may be. And I want to ask us a question tonight, and that is, what are we listening to? There's a story of two friends who are walking through the streets of New York during lunchtime, one man being a farmer and the other being a successful businessman. And as they're walking through the crowded streets of New York, the farmer stops for a moment and says, "I hear a cricket." And of course, the businessman doesn't believe him. And sure enough, after a few more steps, the farmer leaned over into a bush along the sidewalk and pulled up a cricket. And the businessman was amazed and told his friend that you must have superhuman hearing. And the farmer just laughed and said, it's all about what you're listening for and what's important to you. And the businessman said that there's no way that I could hear the cricket. And the farmer replied that, of course you couldn't, because it's not important to you. And so the farmer reached into his pocket and pulled out some change and tried to drop it very discreetly on the ground. And to the businessman's amazement, everyone within 20 feet turned to see if the change that was dropped was theirs. And the farmer said, "See what I mean? It's a matter of what's important to you." What are we as Christians listening for? What is important to us? In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, God said of the new covenant, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and in their heart also will I write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The Bible here gives us a great distinction of two covenants. The old covenant, one where the law was written in stone, and the second, the new covenant that is to be written on our hearts. The old law never became a part of the children of Israel's lives in a lot of ways. The new law, however, should not only be a part of our life, but should be what guides and leads our life. The Lord will only write on our heart what we allow him to write on our heart. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh to me." Therefore, we must hear and learn. If we are willing to hear and learn, God will write his word, the word of his son, on our hearts. We must also have the right type of hearing to receive the word. As James chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us, "Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." There are certain things that we need to put out of our lives to be able to hear properly what God is telling us. And of course, we must receive it, he says, with meekness. And the implanted word will come into our hearts. Again, have we allowed God's word to dwell in our hearts, to be written in our hearts? And again, if we still look at those things that were listed in James chapter 1, and, you know, the filthiness, the overflowing of wickedness, if we have not put those things away, if those things are still important to us, then we will not truly be able to hear God's word. In the story that we talked about earlier with the farmer and the businessman, not only was the farmer able to hear a cricket, but he was able to go and to prove where that cricket was so the businessman could see it. And again, if he wasn't truly listening for it, he may have heard a cricket, but not known where to find it or where to go and get it or where that cricket was. And again, I think a lot of times that's what we as Christians do. We listen enough to know that something is being said, or God is trying to tell us something through his word, but we don't know where to go get it. We don't know how to show someone else that God is trying to tell us something. And that's how in tune with God's word we need to be. And so we ask of you and of myself, what about us? What are we listening for? Have we been able to rid ourselves of the worldly cares and desires, those things that we maybe used to deem important? Have we rid ourselves of those so that we can truly hone in and hear God's word clearly? Can we say that the word of God is engrafted on our heart? I certainly hope that we can, and it's going to take study and a lot of hard work to get it to that point. Again, until we meet here again, I would ask you the question, what are you listening for?
My name rings on.